Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Wealth Magic Podcast. I have three wonderful guests, as you may remember from last week and two, Pixie Dust, Yasmin, and Mars. And today we're going to talk about ritual number two, the second working, which includes the Angels of Omnipotence. Today's going to be a very exciting topic because this is where we actually get into the nitty-gritty, where a lot of people actually give up on the working, or there's a lot of fear surrounding it. So it's very exciting that we get to bring this to you. And we're going to talk about the symbolism, esoteric aspects, the Angels of Omnipotence, and a couple other surprising things too, the history behind it. So we'll go ahead and get started. So first of all, the symbolism, right? There's a lot of symbolism in the Wealth Magic Ritual number two. And if we go around, you guys, if you want Mars, you could start, say, Yasmin, Pixie, and then I'll chime in on that as well. Anything about symbolism, esoteric aspect of it, like go for it. Floor is yours.
Yeah. I can definitely start. I think it would be important if, you know, maybe we should crack open the book really quickly.
Sure.
And let's take a look at the ritual flow together. How does that sound, guys?
Good.
Okay. So I'm pulling out my handy dandy Wealth Magic book. And I apologize for not having it, but I now have it in front of me. So, omnipotence transformation. There's a lot of ways we could go with this. But I think that, Yasmin, I think we have some research and some literature that you might be able to share, right?
Oh, the source, the 6th, 7th Book of Moses, you mean?
Correct, yeah. Maybe, do you have anything on that you want to share?
Yeah, I have it in front of me, but it's, I have to admit I didn't get to read the whole thing, so.
There's a lot.
Okay.
There's a lot that goes into it. It's actually kind of confusing to read through as well. The source material, a lot of the Angels of Omnipotence, and the second working of Wealth Magic is very heavily derived from the 6th and 7th Book of Moses. And I believe even Damon Brand mentions it on the first page of, if you have the Wealth Magic book, it's on page 45. The three Angels of Omnipotence are Elubatel, Ibihuel, and Atuesuel, all revealed in the 6th and 7th Book of Moses. So that's the source material.
Yes.
Correct.
I'm looking at it now, and on page 7 of the 6th and 7th Book of Moses, if you look at the sigil or talisman that the gallery made, then you see, hold on. Okay, where is this?
47 of Wealth Magic.
Oh. Oh, okay. Wait, okay. The characters on the left and on the right. So page 7, Book of Moses. Characters on the left side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Most High. I have to read from the Book of Moses now, you'll understand. And those are the characters that you see on the right side of the sigil, okay? Those weird half circles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These are the high and powerful powerful utterances which Moses employed in the awakening of the Leviathan in order to compel him to serve his Lord. The first cannot be uttered and was used by the first inhabitants of earth as a mighty Lord. The whole is good, but not everyone can obtain it in perfection without severe discipline. And then, as I said before, on the right side, you have those weird characters, which are the Ark of the Covenant of the Most High. And on the left side, in the Wealth Magic book, on the Talisman, you have these other weird characters with which look like lions, like weird symbols, and then there's like lines, like straight lines, almost like a capital I. And it says in the seventh book of Moses, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is God alone." And then it says the conjured spirits appears in a pillar of fire. And those are different characters that are not on there, but I think it's about this part being in the middle, and the middle part I found. Hold on, I found it. Okay, this is page 15. Hold on, is that all right? No, I'm not sure, because I know that the middle characters, that's the funny part, it's not the three angels, it's Leviathan, actually. And someone else showed it to me, bear with me. Or is it this? It's like the print is so bad that I have, it's hard to see.
Yeah, it's a really complex book. I remember looking at it a couple times before.
Oh, no, it is. Hold on. Oh, yeah. It's page 15, chapter 8. Citation of Quernithai or Leviathan. Those are those Hebrew letters.
So it's actually calling upon a couple different spirits, huh? With these characters? Or not directly, but they're indicated on this talisman.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, this really makes me think a lot about King Solomon a little bit, and not to like deviate, but you know, King Solomon was very well known, especially in Masonic traditions, to be, you know, beyond the King of Israel, to be a very powerful Magi. And he was able to command a series of different demons to obtain the power, the manpower, to dedicate a temple to for the worship of God.
Right.
And here's an example of a magician, a very powerful one at that, who has been granted these powers by the Supreme Being to perform this magic. But this is a matter of balance, right? He's using negative. What some people can describe as negative, I'm not going to get into the discussion of that, but it's like a car battery, right? You know, in order to start your car, you kind of need both positive and negative to be able to create that spark to ignite your engine. And this is the symbolism that I describe with Solomon. But when we talk about what Yasmin is talking about right now, it really makes me think about how Moses, in order for him to become, you know, this powerful, omnipotent creature, it describes, you know, the symbolism that I feel it describes is that God is really a state of being, you see.
Yeah.
And that's what I get from that. What do you think?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, no.
Okay, I'll pick up really quick just on something. I thought it was interesting, Mars, what you just said about the positive and negative. I was kind of in the background just doing some research on the sixth and seventh book of Moses, and I came across this website, and I've been looking at these sigils, and they're sigils taken out of the sixth and seventh books and given an explanation. And on I'm on an esotericarchives.com website right now, and then there it says a figure 84 for the left hand is the sigil in the book, or the markings in the book on page 47 of Wealth Magic, There's a figure for the left hand and a figure for the right hand. And on the sigil on page 47, the left hand is actually, the left hand sigil that it says on here is actually on the right side of the
table. Right. Yeah, I noticed too. They switched the sides. I know.
Yeah, and then the left hand is on the right side. But when you just brought up the positive and negative that you mentioned, Mars, I thought that was interesting because it may be like with the right and left, you know, the positive and negative, it kind of comes back into that that charging or the setting it up for, you know, for success in an electrical current, so to speak, you know, if it actually was like in a positive and negative. So I think that that's interesting with the right and the left hand, like being in there for a balance, so to speak, of the sigil. And I'm not quite sure, you know, how much more in depth to go with that, but I've been looking at that kind of thinking that how interesting it was that they even switched it. But maybe it's just in order to help charge the talisman, since we need to do that in the first place before starting out the ritual. You know, I'm not able to identify the Hebrew letters in the middle yet, but maybe somebody else has looked at that. But I'm sure there's something still taken from the 6th and 7th books. But
yeah, the middle is Leviathan.
Oh, right. Yes, Leviathan. Yeah. There we go. Okay.
Interesting. So finding out this information before we even get into the nitty-gritty of the ritual itself, we have some indication that there are some other powerful spirits at work here, and it's very ancient tradition, magical tradition that has been kind of compiled into this little ritual. And it's interesting because this is actually the second ritual, I guess like third part of the book, second ritual. So it's all about transformation and setting the stage and precedence for the rest of the entire working and life itself. Kind of the angels of omnipotence is setting all that up.
I agree. Yeah. What I was going to say was, you know, in order to understand really what the foundation of this ritual offers, you know, it's important to understand what omnipotence actually means. You know, the quality of having unlimited or great power. And if you can transfer this definition into the very being of wealth, we could already see, you know, what direction this ritual is going to take for you. And as, you know, as you said, Arjuna, and I completely agree, this ritual sets the tone for the rituals ahead. It is the foundation. It is so important. Oftentimes I'm asked, do we need to do this again? And for people who are doing the ritual a second time, even they ask, should I do it again? And the answer is quite simply, if you're doing the book for the first time, it is absolutely essential. And there's no debating it. And if you're doing it a second time, consider why you're doing it a second time. Because chances are, if you're doing it a second time because you want to repeat, because you want the energies to be planted a certain way, then that's every reason why you need to perform the ritual.
For sure. Part of the, like, I'm one of the people who have done it for a second time, and I've been asked a lot of times as well, do you need to repeat the second working? And the answer to me, if you ask me, is absolutely 100% yes. Because the first round of wealth magic that I did, the second working was pretty tumultuous. It caused a very harsh separation of somebody who was very close to me at that time in my life. And it was like a harsh separation to where it caused a lot of pain. But, and like thinking about that for the second time, I'm wondering, do I want to experience that again? But you know, what made me realize is what is the purpose I'm even doing this for? I'm trying to solidify wealth magic. I'm trying to set myself up for a life of wealth and abundance and things like that. And in order to do that, I don't have, like, if there is something that I'm attached to in my daily life, I have to be willing to let that go in favor of bringing in a lifestyle of wealth. So that's kind of like how the disruption works in a way.
Absolutely. And, you know, just to kind of extrapolate off that a little bit more, I apologize, but, you know, and I can go on and on with this. But the very fact that that these angels can sort of manipulate time and traverse your entire life to really get things to match up. I have experienced moments after having done this ritual where things properly and almost to an absolute perfection intersected with my past to create opportunities for wealth that, you know, in the past I wondered why am I doing this or why? And, you know, later on.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all work together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
I'm realizing, holy cow, I'm really happy that I did that. You know what I mean? Because I have this experience, because I know, because I have a perspective because of those experiences. So so we'll talk a little bit more about that. But yes, let's proceed.
Awesome. So we kind of talked a little bit about the esoteric aspects of it. We kind of talked about the original source material. So if we can go around, like, what is some experience that you have going through the ritual? What was the beginning part of the ritual? Like, how does it all play out for the rest of you guys? Or like the experiences that you've had working with the ritual?
I hated it.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough for me personally too. I can go on this a little bit. Just to point out, so my personal experiences with this, it was the first ritual where I felt the strong presence of the angels when working with them, especially when singing. And I found that the more effort I put into my singing in the first place, the stronger a presence I felt. So I really, just to note, I really think that the angels enjoy when we sing, you know, if it sounds nice, even if it doesn't, you know, they just appreciate the effort that we put into it. And it says that in the book, it says, you know, the more effort that you put into achieving your own wealth, the better the angels will help you, you know, in assisting this kind of lifestyle that we wish to achieve. And so anyway, so when working with this, yeah, it was rough, right? And it's a long one. It's a 33-day long ritual, you know? So it's over a month of singing in all these directions. And you know, but people do talk about like the discomfort and the challenges that they face. And for me personally, I had to go back and kind of make notes of what all I experienced at the time. And I do have a video up on my YouTube channel about where I talk a little bit in depth about one of these, but I remember during this time, like, I faced a lot of disruptions that essentially they broke down the barriers of obstacles that were in the way of me opening up my life to achieving more wealth, such as, you know, an old living situation that I was just stuck in and not happy in, and as far as, and as jobs as well. And then I was also, during this time, I was also scammed out of about $550 from a loan consolidation company, a fake one in California. And, you know, here I am trying to change my perspective on wealth and do this ritual, and then thinking that I'm doing myself a favor by consolidating my loans. and later to find, you know, that I'm making these payments to a nothing company, and that then I'm lost like $550, which I found out they usually get people for $900 to $1,200. So in that sense, I mean, I did pretty good, but no one's really ever wanting to lose $550. You know, and it wasn't really a loss that I was happy to take at the time. And there was also like just some other stuff that happened where just some damages in life at the time that I needed to pay money. But in hindsight, they essentially set me up for a better future. And not a far-sighted future, but a nearsighted future, you know, just within the next year. And I did like what Mar said too, and then I'll pass the baton on to somebody else, but about how it helped, or I forget exactly how you say it, but how it like aligned with some of the decisions and things that you've made it done in the past. You know, because I've worked jobs in the past or done things where I'm like, why, you know, this is just a filler job. Like, I'm just here for whatever reason because I need to make money, you know, and it's not something that I want to stick with. But then, you know, even in this past year with the job I currently have, or with one of them, it's connected back to my like some very first jobs ever, you know, and relationships have kind of blossomed from them, from that. And it all just kind of wraps around and some of the like skills and stuff that I'd had in the past and still have, you know, but we're on the back burner of kind of come back to light. And it's just interesting how it all connects. And you know, if it's something that is that you're good at and beneficial to you and is a outlet for achieving wealth of any sort, I feel like the angels will pick that back up and bring it to light again, you know, if it can be used kind of in this formula of achieving wealth, if any of that makes sense. But this was a long, tiring ritual, but it's definitely important, and I would 100% do it again because I'm also doing wealth magic a second time now, and I have full intention of doing all 33 days of this ritual again. So
great.
Yeah. Man, that's awesome.
Awesome.
Have real life experience with this again.
Yes. Yeah, right. We'll see what happens this time. Yeah. Well, what about you guys? Did y'all face any sort of trials or obstructions, you know, that were later positive?
Yeah, I did. I can say that for me, it was a pivotal point in my previous career. Where like I was experiencing a lot of losses. So first of all, I didn't sing to the angels. I mean, I tried, but you know, I preferred to always, you know, vibrate it. I wasn't really a big fan of singing to them in general. But you know, the ritual itself was really tiring. I remember times when, you know, I had to skip the ritual a couple of times, like a day, because there was just so much going on around me in terms of like events unfolding. It was a very active ritual, I can say that. The events that I would experience were manageable, and I felt that despite them being extremely big losses, ones that mostly dented my self-esteem, and there's a reason why I say self-esteem, but when these things happened, they really deteriorated my outlook for my career, my business at the time. And I remember, you know, one day just saying, you know what, I'm just so done with this. I'm done with, I hate my job. I hate, you know, these angels did this to me. And I had no idea how I was going to get through this. I was anxious every day. You know, I didn't really get the depression that a lot of people experience. Although I have met and spoken to, and I have personal relationships with people who have experienced severe depression. But I never experienced that. It was usually just, you know, really severe anxiety, you know, just thinking about the future, like not knowing what to expect next. And, you know, I was really on my guard all the time. I was pulling up my daily practice notes. And I was reading an entry that I had put in where I had, you know, clearly in the notes, you know, obviously I seemed really upset and troubled, and didn't know how I was going to pull through this. And, you know, at the same time, though, one thing that was very interesting, and I think that if you're doing the second working, and if you're not experiencing any of this, then it's not working, you know. But I distinctly remember just telling myself, I've got to change. I thought about my kids. I thought about my wife. You know, we were barely making things happen. And this was actually right around the time that, like, I was actually getting married, too, with my wife as well. So we, like, all these things were happening. I think I probably gained a bunch of weight, too, around that time. No kidding. Like, I was, like, so stressed out and so frustrated with everything that was going on that it was a cluster of many different things. But the one thing that kept me very motivated to continue pushing and chugging along was numerology. And I started seeing a lot of 11s and 22s and 44s and, you know, a lot of 55s. And by the way, even after doing Wealth Magic, I'm still seeing a lot of numbers. And I think that the spirits really tend to communicate with me, or at least try to grab my attention with numerology, because if I see numerology, they know how to get my attention. And I'm now, what I experience after, which I believe is really tied to this ritual, is that every single time some major event is unfolding in my life, I see a lot of numerology everywhere. And it's almost like in your face, like, hey, you need to go do a tarot reading, or you need to interpret what I'm talking to you about, but there are opportunities that you need to be taking a look at, that you need to be noticing. And I talked earlier about how these angels, you know, they can traverse time and they can, play around a little bit with your past. And I was talking to you about how, like, my past and my present were sort of intersecting with each other in these really weird ways that were, you know, like when you get a magical manifestation, that feeling, that wow, like, oh my God, like that eye opening feeling, like, oh my God, I just did that. That was me. I just made that happen with magic. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course.
I started having those feelings when these moments were happening. And the best way to describe it was almost as if, like, it was literally planted. Like maybe I, like, went back in time. It felt like I went back in time a little bit, and these specific events happened so that the now could manifest. Mm-hmm. And it's so bizarre, but... but it is what it is. And, you know, this is how I feel about Ritual 2. And if I could summarize what Ritual 2 has done for me, as a person who has experienced a lot of success with this book, is that Ritual 2, besides it being the foundation of ritual of the entire book, it has allowed me to experience and know and be aware of my value, of my worth. And that is critical if you intend to have a prosperous relationship with wealth and with finances and with money in general. If you respect your body and if you respect yourself and you don't allow people to use you, but you instead create and forge your own path forward, you basically with this set of esteem for yourself helps you accomplish, for some reason, it just helps you accomplish more. Your direct relationship with the universe changes when you hold yourself in high esteem and regard.
I completely agree. Yeah.
Absolutely. So kind of, you were talking about traveling through time and whatnot, and I'm 100% on board with that. I do believe that's what the angels are doing. Like, they're literally going back in time, analyzing your past experiences and communicating with your past, channeling that towards the present, and then channeling it even further to the future and kind of tying it all in. So it makes sense to me. This is how I rationalize it too, because in the ritual, at the end of the ritual, it asks you to put your right hand over the talisman and say, "I call on you, mighty angels, Elubatel, Ebuhuel, and Atuesuel, to carry me through life in a state of limitless wealth. I call on you to let wealth flow to me and through me." And then it says, "I call on you to shift time, bend reality, and lay before me a path that guides me to live a life of wealth." And as soon as I read that for the first time, I realized that what you were saying, Mars, is absolutely what was happening. Because time, from what I know, like from a metaphysical standpoint, not necessarily proven standpoint, like time is not linear. And even though we can only experience it in one way, the spirits don't live in our reality. They don't live in our plane. So they could probably be able to access our past, and they're likely also able to access our future. So the angels, what we're asking them to do in this ritual is to pull who we are from the past, shift our memories and shift our experiences, and take what we experienced in the past and change the way we look at them. So maybe if something really bad happened to us in the past, we don't look at it as such a bad victim mindset situation. We instead look at it like, okay, that happened. How can I grow from it? And how can I use this towards a life of wealth? And then likewise, in the future, there's things that haven't happened yet. And theoretically, hypothetically, the angels go into the future, look at our future experiences, and then kind of guide us into achieving the most logical path in front of us that will take us to a life of wealth and steer us away from the future choices that would have led us to a life of non-wealth, so to speak.
Absolutely. And, you know, and important to understand too, that the last bit that you had just mentioned there, in this second working, when you're directly speaking to this, to these spirits, you know, this is a pact, and this is a real pact. And, you know, obviously word for word is how you want, you know, per the guidance as suggested in the book, and by the Gallery of Magic. But this is a pact. And keep in mind that with this kind of language and the creation of this pact, if you allow these spirits to do this for you, and if you follow them, and if you listen to your intuition and become, you have to really truly dedicate your life to this too. Like, this has to be your everything. It can't be just occasional, you know, building wealth and being wealthy and accomplishing what you want to accomplish in life from a financial standpoint has to be your main focus. It's got to be your full-time job. Mm-hmm. And this pact sets the tone, obviously, but that's essentially it. It really just sets the tone. And I just wanted to basically point out that this is a pact, and that for all intents and purposes, what you say and what you command these spirits to do, this is what will happen. And this is what you need to be prepared for.
I think that's why so many people don't pull through, you know? They don't finish the book. Mm-hmm. I think that's the reason. Because I agree, you have to get real and say, okay, how am I going to achieve wealth in this lifetime realistically? And you have to make a plan and you have to follow through. You can't just call on these ancient spirits and then say, I want to dedicate my life to a life of wealth or whatever it is you're saying, then not do shit in your real life. No, like, for real, this has to be your main goal. Otherwise, there's no point.
Yeah, and go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, really quick. I was thinking, I feel like it relates back to the common fear of success that people have. You know, I mean, yes, there's a fear of failure, but a lot of the times, I know myself to have more of a fear of success and in actually achieving what I want to achieve, because then that means change and, you know, discomfort in accessing the new and removing the old, and you know, in accessing the wealth that we wish to achieve, or in achieving that wealth, like, certain things are going to have to break down and change. And for a lot of people, like, they're like, well, I want wealth, but I'm comfortable where I am. And it's like, well, then do you really want the wealth? You know, I mean, are we really willing to go through these disruptions in order to achieve that? And, you know, to just relate it to just a common human fear, that fear of success. And, you know, you really, like you see, you guys have been saying, you really have to be dedicated to doing this, and get past that fear of success. Because if you really want success, then this is what's going to, you know, this can is a great tool to help you achieve that. And then also, just to note on what you said, Mars, about being kind to your body, and not to get all biblical or anything, but the term, you know, your body is a temple, kind of came into my head. And that applies in magic too, you know, because our body is the temple and is the tool that we're using to communicate to these angels and or these entities or whatever. So yeah, we need it to be as healthy and clear, because whatever energy we are putting out there is going to be taken up and used, you know. So it's extremely vital, or has become more vital to me even over the last few years, of just, you know, taking care of ourselves and how that affects everything, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, magically. So, I don't know. I like what you said about that. And then just back to achieving the wealth and the fear of success and all. I think it goes hand in hand, even just from a non-magical standpoint. But yeah,
the fear of success is a real, real thing. And yes, having a lifestyle geared towards wealth, it absolutely has to. Like, I already know there's going to be people who want to know about the second ritual because they heard about it, and they're going to come listen to this. And for the people who did just what I said, do not let this scare you away from doing wealth magic in the first place, because these disruptions are absolutely necessary in order to set yourself up for a life of wealth. And on the other hand, though, if you are not ready to completely change your life into a state of acquiring wealth and change your mindset, change your living situation, change everything about it, then maybe this book is not for you, because it does require a lot of dedication. Aside from the 6 months program that this book tells you to do, these rituals, you're going to have to shift a lot of things in your daily life. And the angels actually help make that easy, or they make it hard, however you want to look at it. But that's kind of like, it's removing a lot of the baggage that you may be holding in the past. For me, it removed a lot of the things that were getting in the way of me being successful. And it opened the door for other things, which is going to be more in line with helping me be successful. Like, for instance, this is non-magical. This is very secular. But for someone like Jeff Bezos, and I'm using this guy as an example because he's like one of the biggest names out there in wealth and success. And this guy has to deal with so many problems. He has to deal with so many challenges, obstacles. He has to manage thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people, and he's managing teams of people who is managing other teams of people, and he has to make decisions despite what other people in society are saying. Some people say that he's like crooked or whatever, and he has to deal with that, and he has to build the business based on what he thinks is going to be best for the business. And that's not easy. I mean, I'm nowhere near anywhere his level by any means, but I have like a small aspect of, like, I get to experience what it's like to run a business, to manage people. And I'm doing that at a much smaller scale. And it requires a lot of mental fortitude, because you have to make the best decision for many people. You have to make sure that how your decision is affecting other people's families, how they could put food on the table. And when it comes down to it, I had to have a lot more mental fortitude in order to do this. Like, if I were to be put in this position 5 years ago, I would not be able to do it. I would crash and burn, and I would run this company into the ground. But luckily, like, over the past few years, I've slowly been able to build my mindset to be able to successfully lead a company. And I'm not making the best decisions all the time. I mean, I make a lot of bad decisions, but having the ability to discern between what is a good decision and what is a bad decision, or even like being able to handle the punches that come on a daily basis of running business, it's like, I have the ability to do that now because I've set the groundwork. I have built the foundation. And that's from a secular point of view. If we're talking about from a magical point of view for this ritual, the second working, it kind of clears away a lot of the previous parts of life that may make it difficult to run a business. For instance, I mentioned this earlier, but, and it's also in one of my other videos, the second working, when I did it for the first time, I was in a relationship and I was living with that person. And that during the second working, we actually broke up, and it was very difficult because we were living together. We were broken up and we went on our own separate ways, but it gave me the opportunity to really focus my mind and my attention straight into my work. Cause that's really what I wanted to do. I really wanted to just channel all of my energy into the work so I could become in a position to actually run the company. So yes, that was very painful. It was extremely disrupting and it caused a lot of tension because we were living under the same roof and we're kind of going our own separate ways. We're paying bills together and whatnot, but that's what had to happen. So that's kind of like where the disruption comes from, but it was absolutely necessary in order to, like Pixie was saying, it's in hindsight, all of it starts to make sense, that all of it was worth it.
And you had committed, you were committed to that, and in the book too, on page 46 of Wealth Magic, it says, it says, you define what wealth is and you make your life about living in that state of wealth. Make your life about living with the wealth you desire. Commit to that and the angels will reward you, and then it talks about using the magic as a training, but that just goes to show, one more really quick. It says, you're swearing to these angels that you want a healthy life, wealthy life, and healthy probably. So if you sit back and act as though nothing is changing, they won't respond positively to your laziness. So, that just is another example, Arjuna, of you committing, regardless. I know breakups are hard, regardless of if it's run its course or whatever, that sounds like a sticky, kind of probably uncomfortable and painful situation to get out of, but it shows that you were committed to going with the flow, of what was happening in order to get you to where you are now. And you recently, had a happy romantic experience. I don't want to say too much. So, you were in a very positive place, I feel now. And so it all worked out. But at the time, you had to go through that to get to where you are today in this moment. So
I like the part that you talk about, Pixie, when you're saying that, the lazy part that you had just suggested there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so true. Nothing that I have accomplished, and I can say that I have accomplished quite a bit. Where by the way, I've accomplished quite a bit whereby every other effort in the past had proven to fail. Okay. Since following the instructions of Wealth Magic, I've accomplished many things, and nothing that I've accomplished was truly by the help of the book. I mean, yes, it was, it was. And I know that what I'm explaining right now doesn't really make sense, but no opportunity was handed to me. I had to learn new skills. I had to become financially literate, and I had to go through a lot of pain and suffering to find my way, to know my worth, and to build upon all of these failures, right, before actually seeing a really good success with this. So this isn't something that you're going to see immediate benefits from, even after the seventh working. But it's crucial that you experience everything, and especially what we're talking about here today, because every effort, every event, and every every motion that you take in during this journey will be pivotal to the next, and it will. It will essentially bring you that life of wealth that you're looking for. And I can guarantee it.
Yeah, I think the book goes in order for a reason, you know, the rituals. And this one is in the beginning or close to the beginning because it is vital for the rest of the rituals to work to their full capacity, you know, and break down. Because I feel like if you put it at the last ritual and broke down everything at the end, then it's like, well, now what, you know, I don't know. So there's a rhyme and reason behind it, behind the placement and everything.
And yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. The third working is where actually the money starts, which is interesting because that means through the daily practice, the first and the second ritual really wasn't fully about money. Because the third working is absolutely where the financial magic actually starts, which says a lot because by this point, we're maybe like 2 to 3 months into this wealth magic thing, and we're not doing anything money related until the third ritual. So all of this stuff is absolutely necessary. It's the beginning. It's really setting up everything in the future. Like you had already mentioned, we already talked about it too. And in order to actually fully receive the benefits of doing money magic, we kind of have to do all this stuff first. And yeah, this is the most opportune place in the book, in the whole wealth magic journey where this ritual actually fits in.
Yeah, I'd agree with that statement. I would say that the first ritual is definitely about interchanges. It's about getting your blood to actually pump, basically transmitting this message of, hey, it's time for wealth. It's time for alchemy. It's time for change, you know, within your very being. I think that's what Ritual One does. And you know, of course, we've talked about the spirits in the Ritual One, but I think this is really an alchemical ritual. Ritual Tool, you know, as we had talked about, it's definitely, you know, what we've discussed today. It's all about, yeah, still interchange, but mostly it's mostly paving the way and clearing the path for your opportunity into the ranks. You know, I think that like if you did this book and, you know, honestly, I'm considering a third run and I'm seriously considering in the last working telling Clown Eck that I want to be on the Forbes list. I mean, we'll see.
Love it.
Yeah, I'm with this second round that I'm doing, I'm trying to be more, I guess, focused and even just more almost intense with my desired results, you know, and clearer about it. So I intend to put more energy into it to see if I can kind of just grow from where I've already grown since the first time I did it. And, you know, you guys were also big inspirations behind doing it a second time as well. So you know, because I believe all three of you have done it twice, or maybe not, maybe just
no, me only once.
Okay, yeah. But I know you had mentioned that maybe you want to do it again a second time, and I had kind of put it off. Yeah, I wasn't really. You do, yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, so we'll see how it'll, you know, kind of change from my current situation after the last changes. I don't know. Especially with stronger intention or stronger focus as well.
Yeah, it's definitely going to take it takes a strong person to be able to do it a second time. So I commend you for being able to do it a second time, let alone finish the first one. Because that's a big thing that I've noticed people do is they're not able to even finish the first run of Wealth Magic. And it's primarily they get hung up by this working right now. Like it scares a lot of people. So I want to be one of the people to definitely state that this is not something to be afraid of. It is par for the course. It is part of what we have to experience in order to continue going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely want to say add to that. Yeah, you definitely underscored an experience that I've seen a lot, Arjuna, about first time goers and even second time goers that do this working. And, you know, yeah, once you get into that second working, I mean, you know, forget it. It's really tough. You're experiencing everything. Some people, you know, hey, they don't experience anything at all. And kudos to you. And they've had some success with this book. And again, kudos to them. But, you know, generally the common magical side effect is going to be some of the things we've outlined here. I've already discussed how, you know, I feel if you are not experiencing these things, Rather, I should rephrase that and say, if you are experiencing these things, you know that the magic is working. Right. Yeah, just keep in mind that the only way out is through. And I think if you can just try to keep that focus, you know, as you're navigating, the light at the end of the tunnel, you'll see it. And if you can just get past the second working, you know, guys, hear me out. If you can get past it, I promise you that everything else is going to go really smoothly. And there will be a lot more to sort of look forward to. And, I feel that I have some, based on my experiences, I feel I have some very intimate relationships with some of the spirits in this book. I mean, I won't say that I've got the best relationship with the spirits in the second working, because, man, they really kicked my ass. But, you know, I've got some very personal relationships with these and with these spirits, and sometimes I don't even know how to thank them. So, yeah.
You know what? To me personally, the fourth working is worse. And I know someone else who did the same experience as me. The second one, so disruptive, the second working. But the fourth working, almost like the second one on steroids in my life and in his life too. So it's interesting. So I guess that's just certain people. That was the worst few weeks of my life in the past couple, like in the past 5 years, easily. Before the working, so bad.
Wow.
I'll have to check my notes on the fourth working when we get to that, because I know that I can't remember. I think the second was about the most disruptive for me, but there were, it was kind of like a whole process throughout the whole book, really, of disruptions. But I feel like the second one was definitely where the disruption started. The whole 6 months, 6 to 8 months, however long it took me, was a period of transition that I didn't really even realize until after the fact, you know. And then I sat down and was like, oh, here I am now, you know, like, where was I a year ago? I was in a, you know, completely different spot, not only physically, but mentally. I mean, not like I moved states or anything, but, you know, just a different change of living situation and job wise. So, you know, you don't really realize until later on what's going on, and you're able to credit the magic for that, you know, hopefully, as I was, at least.
Right.
But I think it's important to emphasize that it's to not have fear of this ritual, because that will definitely be carried into it with you. You know, in the energy that you put into it, if there is any fear of what might happen, then you're almost allowing, opening doors for worse things to happen, or maybe how you'll respond to them. Because maybe I was naive in going to this ritual slightly, where I didn't have any fear, because I was like, well, what's going to happen? You know, I mean, you know, and then some stuff happened, but now, almost the second time, that now that I'm more aware of it, there was one day where I was thinking like, oh snap, like, what's going to happen when I do the second ritual? And I can't have that mindset, you know, I just have to do it. And I'm not even there yet. I'm still doing the daily practice as of right now, but you know, I have the conscious awareness to not have that fear, you know, now, and just notice, or just know and accept that whatever changes or disruptions may take place, which could be nothing, you know, they could be minimal, or they could be extreme, you never know, that it's all part of what I am choosing to do, you know, with this magic, and with acquiring the wealth that I want to have in this life and the next.
Embracing it. Yep.
Embracing it. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I definitely think that's the way to go. And, you know, going into it with that thought pattern really helps you navigate and feel the magic. And, you know, it's sort of like riding the bull, you know, you really get to feel the bull, when you're actually like allowing it and sort of moving with it and not against it. Terrible analogy. It's mostly a Texas analogy, but, still, you know, I'm sure you get what I'm trying to say. You know, go with the flow, don't go against the current. And I think if you go with that in mind, things will be a lot more easier for you. I do admit that on both occasions when I did this, I mean, it was, definitely not easy for me to just go in this with a straight, you know, with a straight face, or essentially with this kind of attitude, this positive attitude or outlook. So, you know, give yourself a little bit of sympathy. It's okay if you don't, but definitely go in with, you know, that mindset that Pixie is saying, you know, and when you're walking into this, really just make the commitment, tell yourself, hey, you know, I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to grow. I'm going to be a grown person. I'm going to be an adult here about this. And this is what's needed. And if you're the type of person who believes that, you know, your past life can affect your future, or that there's some sort of karmic debt or anything like this, you know, because I often had those thought patterns as well about my life, because again, as I have mentioned in the past, every time that I attempted to do something that was sort of in a positive direction for my wealth, I always fell or went back, you know, 3 or 4 steps. But in general, like I said, just going in this path and following the ritual proper, and following it in this path is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, guys. So I think that about concludes it. It was a very good summary on how to approach this ritual and even this book in general. So aside from that, we covered pretty much almost everything that I could think of, we can think of. We have some experiences that we'd like to share on a different occasion with some people who've actually been through the ringer and have very specific experiences. So keep an eye out for that when we decide to bring those people on board. And aside from that, that should be it for today. So I appreciate all of you guys for being here. Thank you for sharing all your experiences.
Thank you for having us.
Take care.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, nice. Everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.